Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Another week, another Monday, Ilona Europa, Accent On, the same chair for last 3.5 years probably, and I love it. People hate Mondays, but yes. I love Mondays.
Mondays are special.
And sun is going down, you know.
It's beautiful.
Maybe I need to stop playing the song and start bringing something new, because maybe people are boring from this intro. But I think that's
it's a perfect
European song.
And it is.
Thank you, Domenico Capuano, for this one. Anyway, today is the cool day, because it's sun. Still, light is outside. Mm-hmm. I have my co-host with me, Lucy Hill.
Hello.
Lucy Hill.
Hola.
You have some cool accent.
Yes, from Britain.
You're
Britain. Everybody's from Britain here.
I know. And we have, of course, I am from Poland. And my accent doesn't want to disappear. I'm keeping until I die.
Yes.
I decided. That's what makes
me
different.
We will exit. Exactly.
And I make money of it. Yes. Just creating the accented show. Sure. I like that. And of course, the big
drum roll.
Yep. We have very, very, very important and special guest today in the studio. I'm nervous. I'm never nervous.
No, you're not.
I'm
nervous.
Not. I don't know what I'm talking about a lot. But I'm never nervous, and I'm very excited. But this time I'm overwhelmed by the biography on bio and achievements on our guest, and Mike Gormley.
Hello.
That's it.
I'm sorry to scare you.
You did, you know. Obviously,
it's the bio.
I'm talking for like, it's the bio, man.
Yeah, I mean, what an eminent. I mean, I was reading your bio and everything you've done, and of course, I've heard of you. And
I made all that up.
Did you really? Okay. Well, you never know. No, but it's incredible all the things that you've done, and I'm sure you have lots of questions, Alona.
I don't know where to start. I don't believe that we'll cover anything today. We'll be just scratching a little bit his bio, beautiful, wonderful guest. And Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
You are from Canada.
I am from Ottawa.
Okay, and you don't have an accent, of course. And you were
not much of an accent.
And you don't say a boot.
I don't.
I don't.
I must have at one time, but I,
did you?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I say things like Tuesday instead of
Tuesday.
I say Tuesday.
Yeah, well, you're English.
Well, that's right.
Okay, I say wtorek. That's Polish way for Tuesday. Okay, Mike, I'm scared to ask you any questions, because you are like a walking Bible or encyclopedia of music, entertainment music.
It's going to be a very quiet hour if you're afraid to ask questions.
No, because somehow I believe that I don't need to ask questions. You will tell me all anyway, you know. I think you have so much to say. Then
It's difficult to shut me up. So you know,
I love
good,
it.
That's
okay,
good.
That's what I'm counting on, that, because you need to almost lead us. This is the introduction. I think we have lots of listeners to listening and downloading the show, really, really. And they know the show as of like, we love great artists. We love, we protect them, we bring them. Mostly a lot of people are for the first time bringing their own singles, and we are playing them, or they bring guitars or whatever, they saxophones and they play live. This is like something I just live for, the Mondays with unusual guests that I just am so happy to know more. Then, but with you, your career is, you think like you are lucky one, in a way. And I know this wasn't like that. I don't think so. You premeditated many, many years ago who you'll be today.
I'm not sure who I am today. But
who are you today?
So how did you, how did you start? Like, what put you on the road to this path? I mean, was it accidental? Was it deliberate? I mean,
It wasn't deliberate.
Yeah.
I've always been in music from a tiny tot. I loved drums and percussion, and I eventually became a drummer playing around Canada and not around Canada, around Ottawa, up, you know, that sort of area, Toronto. And then, I'll try to keep this short, but I went to school in San Francisco, or in Northern California. Hmm. I was a teenager. I was 17 or 18. And that was in the 60s. And the Fillmore was going strong, and these great bands were coming through. And what people didn't know was that if you played the Fillmore on Saturday night, there was a little place in Hayward, California, that during the week was a roller skate rink.
Hmm.
But on Friday nights, bands played. Bands like the Byrds and Buffalo Springfield. Wow. and the Everly Brothers and Love.
Where are the rings right now, like that?
Yeah. Mm. So I had written one story for a newspaper in Canada, and they wanted more. So I just started going down to this club, and I'd knock on the door and say, the dressing room door, and just say, I'm from the Ottawa Journal. I'd like to interview you. Like they knew what the Ottawa Journal was.
I like that.
But they always said yes. And I actually, at age 18, had a weekly column in a newspaper in Ottawa written from San Francisco. So I got into it that way. My father was a journalist, and I knew a lot of journalists, and I knew the guy at the editor at the newspaper, so I sent the story to him. And so I ended up doing that, and then that led to professionally writing in Detroit Free Press, which was at the time was the fifth largest morning newspaper in North America. So I really got into writing about music and musicians. And my very first story at the Free Press was an interview with Neil Young, where the Buffalo Springfield had broken up, and he was on a solo acoustic tour, and he played a little club in Ottawa called Le Hibou, which is French for the owl, and it was a great folk club. I mean, Joni Mitchell played there, everybody you can think of, Lightfoot, whoever, and a lot of blues artists. And in fact, the drummer for a lot of the blues artists was a guy named Dan Aykroyd. But anyway, I wandered over to Le Hibou, and Neil Young was doing a sound check, and the place was empty, and we just went and sat in the dressing room for a couple of hours and talked, and he told me about this band he was putting together called Crazy Horse.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like that. That was my first story in the Detroit Free Press, and for the next two or three years, I wrote about did stories on just about everybody.
But somehow I read your bio again, and I posted your bio on Accent On. Hopefully everybody will go there and read, because it's very, very unusually interesting, and amount of names that we all know and music that we all love, and people that you really help to get out and just having great careers. And it's like how the guy can do this, how he has a vision, how he even had this arrogancy, if this is English word, being arrogant and thinking that you will be the one who allow the big names to just shine, you know. And already in the 60s, 70s, you mentioned so many great bands. And do you think that you were in right place, right time? Do you think there was like, you knew that that's what you will be doing, or you just created your own journey?
I created in some way. I mean, I went and did my first story. It was in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, and it was, I'm trying to remember who was on that show, but it was the Supremes, Dionne Warwick, Sonny and Cher.
A few small names.
Let me drink some water.
It was a big orchestra, a live orchestra with two drummers, and Phil Spector was conducting the orchestra.
Okay.
And so I just wrote a story about that, and I sent it to the Ottawa Journal. So in a way, I created that. I just did it out of the blue.
Yeah.
And they liked it, and asked for more. And then when I was at the Detroit Free Press, a great guy flew in from Mercury Records, which was based in Chicago at the time, and took me out to lunch. And he was a PR guy. I thought he was taking me. I was a journalist. He was a PR guy. I thought he was just going to, you know, tell me about some artist or something. And he offered me a job. He said, I'm leaving Mercury. Would you like to be head of publicity for Mercury Records?
Yes.
And I'd never really done publicity, but I said, gets me out of Detroit. So.
Well, why not?
See, I love what you are saying about, because, like I say, I'm surrounded by so many young people who are finishing, ending college, and they right now don't know what to do. And a lot of them are like saying, am I qualified to do the job that maybe I will be hired to do? They're scared to think that, yeah. How can I? How could
I? Had, you know? I had people working for me at Mercury Records who knew more about publicity than I did. In fact, the first day I'm in an office, I go from being a journalist, and then when you're a journalist, even at a big newspaper like the Free Press, you have a little cubicle. I was lucky; I actually had a window, which was not normal, and a little cubicle, and that was your office. And I went from that to a huge office with two secretaries, and I sat at the desk the first day and twiddled my thumbs and thought, what in hell do I do now?
Okay. And what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
Outside the window was Playboy. And I thought, well, they've got 7 million readers and a pass-on of 21 million at the time. I should meet them if I'm going to do PR. And I did. I called them up, and then I went over. And I didn't. I thought I was going to meet, you know, Slicko, Hugh Hefner type
guys.
Yes,
yeah, right.
They were all just a bunch of hippies.
Yeah. Who,
and we got along right away. And they did a story on Rod Stewart, who was on Mercury at the time. And it was, I didn't know this, but it was the first pop, quote unquote, pop artist that they had ever covered. Huh. And the reason that happened was that I didn't know. I just thought, I better be doing something here. And they were neighbors, so I went over there, and the Rod was the first non-jazz artist, so they tell me, that they ever did a story on. So I ended up working with him for the next 4 or 5 years, because when I arrived at Mercury Records, it was a few months or maybe 6 months before his second album or third album, called Every Picture Tells a Story, and on that was Maggie May, and off he went, and that's what I did for the next few years. But then Mercury Records also had Rush, and also had Bachman Turner Overdrive, and also had, I helped get the New York Dolls signed, and a lot of people don't know the New York Dolls these days, but they were pre-punk. The Sex Pistols may not have come into being without the New York Dolls and everything that followed. So it was a great time.
Okay, but did you, having Rod Stewart, having all these different bands, different genres, you didn't feel like, what do I know about music, their style, how well I will be pitching them to the public? How did you have the nose, the intuition to pitch artists to the public that maybe need to be thought or learned, you know, from somebody who they will be listening to? You know, you needed to create spin around the artist. And how did you know that?
You know, I just did. I somehow...
It was an
instinct. It's kind of stupid, but I just... I knew I was a journalist, so I knew how to talk to journalists.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Believed very much in Rod Stewart at that time. He hadn't done come near disco. He was had great, great songs on those albums. He was a great guy to work with, and I just loved being with a lot of those artists and meeting some of those people, and also meeting some of those writers. I met some great writers, and it was just, I was 25 years old. I was one of them, really. I was not an older record executive guy trying to talk to a younger guy. Some of those, Rod and I were almost the same age. And, you know, so it was I could connect with all of what was going on.
And this was about the late 70s, was it?
Yeah, it was, Rod, it was 72.
Yes, I mean, early 70s, huh?
Okay,
then.
The Mercury Records, yes, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Fast forward, what after? What's happened after?
Well, Mercury Records was purchased, became part of a company called Polygram, which was owned by Siemens of Germany and Philips of Holland.
Was it? I didn't know that.
So many vinyls in Europe. I have this Polygram. You know, that was so cool when I was listening to. Yes.
They wanted me to move to Hamburg, Germany.
Really?
And I wanted to. I wanted to learn another world, another market, Europe, so on and so forth. But that, and then as corporations will do, they screwed me around. I almost sold my house out before, and then they changed their minds and that kind of thing. So after a big screaming argument, within a day or so, I got a phone call, not connected in any way, just out of the blue from A&M Records. And they said, do you want to move to L.A.? And I said, oh, I think so.
Okay. I still believe you have some angels, lucky angels, giving you some little things in front of your nose and say, would you take it?
You may be right. You may be right.
Yeah. Okay. No, but please, you needed to have some like big setback, something that was really like, oh, gosh, lucky stream. Like, and now, it was any few years that you were petrified what to do and just you were bored what you were doing and saying, I need to do something else with my life. No.
Well, I shouldn't say no. Of course, everybody has their ups and downs, but I didn't have
doubts.
I didn't have anything. No. When I was at A&M for about 3 years, and during that time, helped introduce the Police and helped introduce Supertramp. Oh. Not introduce, but bring them. And Herb Alpert had a number one record, and he's the A of A&M. You know, so it was again great years and working with great people, and it was a blast. But I got a little tired of being a record executive. Sounds kind of pompous, but I just got a little bored
with
it.
And not a performer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got, you know, it was kind of like going to a meeting to find out what time the next meeting was.
Mm.
You know, I just didn't.
It's boring.
It was like administrative.
I got into a little political game between two of the main guys, not the main guys, but anyway, they were making it not so much fun. So the manager of the Police, a guy named Miles Copeland, came to me and said, I just signed two bands on the West Coast, but at the time, the Police were just hot and getting hotter. He was traveling all the time. He was based in London at the time. It was crazy for him. So we formed a company out here, and the bands were Oingo Boingo and Walla Voodoo.
What a sound. I was like going on a website because obviously I'm from Europe, from Poland. You can call me that. I maybe didn't know some of these bands. Some of I renew. Depends which song. Which bands they allowed us to listen to. But fact is, this sound could be today.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Still a Johnny Vatos, from the drummer from Oingo Boingo, still has I think he calls it Oingo Boingo Dance Party or something like that. But it's many members of Oingo Boingo, and it's a great show. And I just, 2 weeks ago, was down at L.A. City Hall where it was Oingo Boingo Day.
Oh, it was.
It was great. It was fantastic. I hadn't seen some of those guys in a long time. But anyway.
We are looking from first journalism, then PR, then you moved into being
management.
And I understand. Then you were having a little bit. Two guys didn't like you so much. You went between them, political problems. Yes, movie in the making. Okay.
definitely.
And then you said, okay, enough. I'm not working for these guys. And now you move to another company. This was the last. Okay.
It still exists.
Yes.
Because the company, I'll explain this. Of course, there's a band of the Police. Miles Copeland had record company, IRS Records.
So what a name.
His brother had FBI booking agency. So we formed LAPD Management.
I know.
And the other guys are gone, but LAPD still survives.
He still survives.
Do you keep contact with them?
Oh, sure. I saw Miles not too long ago.
Right.
You know, it was sweet because I posted a few days post that you will be coming for the show. Oh, my gosh, you have lots of friends. Or they love you, or they just pretend that they love you and they just want to say how much they love you. Oh, they need you, yes. But you have nice friends. What a reaction, beautiful reaction. And doesn't happen so often. You know, people come and go. When you have 20 beautiful years old blonde girl, then it's like everybody loves, and he's like, you know, whatever. But you have lots of friendship, which means what is so important in this business, yes, Lucy?
Yeah, definitely.
To keep friendships going, and because you need to have some type of moral good backbone or something that...
We need to be grounded and centered.
I don't know.
You?
I think they call this dirty business or very complicated business, or nobody has anybody's back. We are moving left and right. If somebody gives us better offer, it's like bye to your past manager or somebody. People don't like to sign contracts. Everybody uses you, and then they jump to another opportunity. Tough tough place.
But any industry, is backstabbing, political, difficult, and you have to fight through that. Any industry, it's not just the music industry. Name it, and there's no. This isn't really accurate. I was going to say there's no fun industry. Sure, there are fun industries, but every company has its politics and has its downside. And,
But do you think you have special talent that keeps you going? Maybe you don't make enemies. Is this possible?
Yeah, what is
enemies?
Your secret?
Yeah.
What is the secret that has propelled you?
We need to do margaritas or something and
there
drink
are
it.
People who don't like me. They are.
They are?
Well, nobody can like us all
I've
the time.
I've had my life threatened a couple of times.
We really?
You know, but so, you know, that it's not, it's, my it's funny. My mother used to tell me that everybody loves my father. And as a young man, I took that to heart. But absolutely everybody loves him. And if I'm anything at all, everybody will love me.
Yeah.
And I finally, about my mid-20s, realized she didn't mean that literally. No. You know?
I was so hoping that you say, you know, I try. But I still believe it's very nice likability about you. And seeing this nice history of job changes and people giving you new opportunity, you going there and then keeping the contacts and creating new business, past business and moving with friends or whatever, and you create something. Because now we have the gap still from 80s to 2000 something. You did a lot of stuff also. But people know that Accenton is all about music, or mostly about music. And I know you have artists, very special artists, and I just want to start playing some music for people. Then I know he's your client, he's your friend. Please introduce Daryl to us.
All right, well, I think you're talking about Daryl Purpose. And Daryl is a client, but he's also somebody I've known for many years. And first off, I'll plug in that he's going to be in Los Angeles, in Santa Monica, at McCabe's. It's coming Sunday at 7 o'clock, the 15th. His record just came out last Friday, and we've been getting these. I was on the phone with him earlier today, and we were almost laughing at how incredible these reviews are. There are reviewers who don't like anybody who are raving about this record.
Wow.
And he sort of, for a minute, he said, well, what are you laughing at? I said, I'm not laughing at the music. I'm laughing at these guys who rarely come out with a good review, and here they are, you know, they're just... they're falling over themselves, so it's really fantastic.
Oh, this artist, in a way, is not new, and records for many, many years, but we'll be calling next question. Means that you wait for your moment, you never stop creating, believe in yourself, all these things that mama tells us, and we like eventually say, yeah, mommy, right. Because you love me, you say that, but nobody loves me.
You eventually
I need to be, you know, hairdresser instead of dreaming about being rock star or whatever that people say. Do you think that
he has another profession?
Oh.
He is a professional blackjack player.
Oh, really?
That he can finance himself very well in his business.
If he's good.
We need to wish him good luck in both of businesses.
No, you don't.
No.
He's doing actually, just fine.
Yeah, okay, then let's talk about music, because that's what it looks
like. That's what's important to him.
That's what is important for him. Yeah. Okay, we have three songs. Would you like to start from Prince? Unknown phone call number calling. Do we want to see who is calling?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. Can be somebody important. Hello. 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 Unknown phone number.
Okay.
And he's silent. Okay.
Nobody.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then which song we will be playing, you think, first?
Prince of the Apple Towns is the name of this song, and it's this album is very interesting. There are songs he's written about Edgar Allan Poe and other, but this one is about Dylan Thomas.
Okay.
And it's just his he co-wrote all of these songs with an LA resident named Paul Zollo, who's a really good writer, lyricist as well as a journalist. And so anyway, that's what this song is Observations on Dylan Thomas.
Wonderful. Prince of the Apple Town.
Over songs of saints and martyrs, from Swansea to Kremlin Bowl, he's been alive 1,000 years.
with eyes of sea and fog. Down the green and golden pathways among horses and cows, a huntsman and a herdsman under the apple boughs. In a song of salt and barley, in our temporary crowns, in the sun as young ones only, prince of the apple towns, he was the prince of the apple towns. Famous among the foxes, songs carved out of soul, where the children of the harvest and the spellbound horses low. In the shadows of the mumbles, he ran his heedless ways, tipsy from salvation's bottle unto the fields of praise. In our songs of salt and barley, in our temporary crowns, in the sun that's young once only, prince of the apple towns, he was the prince of the apple towns. In a song of New York City, in winter when fall light, at the old White Horse Tavern, sang the sun in flight. The boy is mad as birds after the birth of simple light. In his cups and all alone, into that good night. Where his heart is still a bird's nest, in a three-piece suit of spades, and the moon is always rising over hummingbird parades. Swansea bells keep ringing, ringing, unbound by gravity, and his chains forever singing like the sea. In our songs of salt and barley, in our temporary crowns, in the sun as young once only, prince of the apple towns, he was the prince of the apple towns. Prince of the apple towns, he was the prince of the apple towns. Prince of the apple towns, prince of the apple towns, he was the prince of the apple towns, prince of the apple towns.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Do you think it's time to slow down? This is all because why you think we have two more songs? People react to this music positively.
Yeah. Well, people are.
People are.
Yeah, it's mesmerizing.
It's mesmerizing, yeah. Yes. We all just drive somewhere and have this
it's
type
like
of music in a car.
It's like you go to another place, you know. Yeah.
And throwback, yes, to also,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
It's like you're really singer-songwriter style, but we don't have so many artists.
It sounds like James Taylor and Sting, kind of a mix of the two.
Oh, I hadn't heard Sting before. James Taylor.
The Fields of Gold.
But one of the reviews actually said, I'll paraphrase it, said something like, pretty soon people are going to be saying that James Taylor sounds like Darryl Purpose.
And what did I send you, an email?
Yeah.
I send you James Taylor right away, too. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, it's not. They both cannot be compared like that, but they have the same similar souls and worked in 70s and probably will be working very, very well in this tiring times of 2016. Beautiful. I will move to another song right away, if I may.
Sure.
Do we want to play Evergreen Avenue?
Yeah, Evergreen Avenue is, it's a really cool song. It's, I wouldn't want to say it's a downer. It's just an observation. It's an observation of a graveyard in East L.A. Of a lot of gang members are there, and their observation, Paul and Daryl's observation of it.
He has something to talk about.
Yeah, Evergreen Avenue, right?
Very, very good. Let's get serious.
Evergreen Avenue, East LA. Every day is Revolution Day. Church bells chime a song of death. Down narrow lines of crystal meth. Black Cadillac and a blue Mustang. Shooting smack with the Breed Avenue gang. Bullets fly and ricochet by the old boneyard where the bodies lay. In a crimson cape like Superman, waiting in the wild where the world began. Laying low in the dismal dust, like a hot tamale in a new corn husk. Mixing up the grits and the lard by hand. He's an empty pocket in a promised land. Jackal cars on crack cocaine, driving all alone in the carpool lane. Santa's whirling waves across the tombstones and the graves. Life and death is all we have. Evergreen Avenue, Christmas morn. Chili Relleno in the barley corn. From 18th down to Chinatown. Cruising with the botches as the tea goes down. And the sky's black, the moon is red. From Candlemas to the Day of the Dead. But the sky will be red, the moon will be black. When Mexico steals California back. Santa Ana's whirling waves across the tombstones and the graves. Life and death is all we have. Green Avenue, 3 a.m. The shadows know what you think about them. Flashbacks fast as phantom jets. His heart remembers what the flesh forgets. And the flesh forgets what the spirit learns. That the world goes crazy right before it burns. And his blood ignites like gasoline as he says a prayer to St. Augustine. Santa Ana's whirling waves.
Santa María, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros pecadores.
Across the tombstones and the graves.
Amen.
Life and death is all we have. Forevermore on evergreen out. Forevermore.
The whole album and my daughter too. This is something that it's very hard to put in the music. Everything what is really scary, dangerous,
really
and
captures Los Angeles, and the problems, deep, the dark side.
And we have again caller who calls and calls somebody else. Maybe I will try to pick up. Hello.
Oh, hello. Yes, I have a question for Mr. Gormley.
Okay, who we are talking to?
My name is Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hi. Hi. I wanted to ask you if you know the difference of building the career and when you were building all the incredible people that you did, and obviously the difference between then and today, and how you build a career today.
Well, I was younger then.
Optimistic.
But, well, I didn't build them all by myself. There are a lot of people involved, but I had the, as I said earlier, the joy of working not only with great artists, but some great contemporaries. There was a kind of a formula up until 10, 15 years ago. You know, you took the record to radio, you had the artists look right, you were able to, you didn't manufacture them. I managed the Bangles. I never told them what to wear. They just figured it out because they knew better than I did. But it's hard to explain, but now it's a little wide open, more wide open game, and you can't, you know, radio is still important, but it is, there's still all that internet out there, and there's so much more to deal with. There's so much.
Right.
The ironic thing is, there's so many more ways to get your music and word out there. The ironic part of it is that because of that, everybody's doing it.
He's watched it.
You know, so you can be in Des Moines in your basement and record a hit record and get it out to people, or like him or not, Justin Bieber made a video at his home in Canada, so you can do it that way, but it is it's still got its ups and downs, and it's still difficult, but it's not quite the formula that did exist at one time, and everybody understood.
It's just so crowded, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very crowded, and I find it scary for artists now. Because it's always been an uphill battle, but now you would think, as I said, you would think when there's more outlets for your music, it would be easier. But because there are so many, it makes it more difficult. It washes it out a little bit, because when you get airplay on a radio, there was a survey done many years ago that for someone to relate the name of an artist with a song took 38 listens. You had to hear it 38 times.
Wow.
Wow.
Where do you get to play your record 38 times these days? You know, to get that information across. That's in the pop world, where Justin Bieber lives, that formula still kind of exists, and you can still get a pop artist out there. But a singer-songwriter or a blues artist or whatever form you want to call it, much more. They have to play live.
Where are you now?
Pardon me? I didn't hear you, sorry.
Yeah. I said, Wolfman Jack, where are you now?
Yeah, right. Come on back.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. I believe that in times like that, it seems like everything, anything is impossible. It's like just nothing that we can do anymore. It's just overwhelming. Something is in a corner that will... I think people wait for albums like that. People are really focused right now more on what you want to say through your music instead of how it's produced and how maybe it's overproduced.
Right.
And I think I think we always will find a way to break some great artists. Just, I'm going with my interview to it because I think your life shows us that you just go forward.
That's
take responsibility,
exactly.
And you are going left and right. Whatever the life brings, you somehow adjust and you have your own greatness about you. That's for sure. We need to bring something to the table. But you need to go forward and just create a movement.
I'm working with a great band out of Dallas right now, and they're called Moonwaves. They're 18 years old. They're just finishing up high school. They just played their first headline date in Dallas and sold out. They did a video we put out a month or so ago, but I bring that up because they've been working before we got together. They've been working for 2 years in the Dallas area, and the building process is starting to pay off. And now we're just going to concentrate on Texas. And this summer they're going to tour. They're not going to go to New York or whatever. They're going to play in Texas and build that base. Build that base and
which means we are starting like was in 70s and 60s. Yeah. Maybe we just think all the young artists think globally. And maybe they need to take care of what is the next door a friend who just want to send to friend and friend to friend. Because maybe that's the answer. But we'll find the answer. It's too much of good music to not being heard. And like I said, driving the same... the car and the same road and listening to over and over the same songs on the radio.
It
makes
rotation.
Me to cry. Make me to cry because I know it's so much beautiful music everywhere and young people listen everything outside of the radio right now. They find their own way to bring to listen to what they want to listen. Somebody needs to take a notice.
I know, Alona, you're asking such wonderful questions because this is all close to your heart, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, how this is working for you, Mike, and because you face this, don't you?
In your
work too.
Yes, and I am
how to promote and push.
And I'm optimistic because I really believe that the time is coming up for everybody who just will be eventually ready to receive some sign that maybe that's the right sign. And hey, nothing is easy, like Mike said. Right? Yeah. Nothing is easy.
Nothing good is easy.
But just keep going. That's the point.
But having you here, I really hope they'll be coming back and just hopefully people will be calling. I have another caller, but I want to play music. Then Michael, I need to say bye-bye to you, but hopefully
when we'll be back, you
prepare another question.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's see. Hello?
Yes, I had a question for Mr. Gormley.
Of course.
Hello.
Yes, I've got a question for Mr. Gormley. It's Suzanne calling.
Hi, Suzanne. This is actually Mike.
Oh.
You can call me Mr. Gormley if you want, but go ahead, Suzanne.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to know, I've read up on you, and I've been following you over the years, and I know that, you've worked with some incredible artists like Rod Stewart and, not just the Bangles, but Sting and even Prince and everything. And what I wanted to know is, do you feel that is there some kind of it factor that you can recognize when you first meet an artist, beyond how they look and how they sound? Is there something they have to have, too, beyond being a good singer-songwriter or a great musician?
Well, there is that aspect of natural talent, the first time I saw Sting was the A&M Records was in a lot. You didn't have it wasn't a high rise, and in the parking lot he was standing there. I walked out of my office, and I'd known all about him. Of course, we had already been dealing with him. I hadn't met him yet, and I swear the sun was shining down on him like a spotlight. I just looked at him and went, "Oh my God!" And
wow.
I knew where we were going, and the Bangles had their vocals were incredible, and you just knew there was something going on with a lot of artists. But there are artists who may not give you that immediate impact, but they don't give up, and whatever was in there in the first place gets discovered. You can see it in a lot of people, and things are going to be easier than they might be with the other guy, but the other guy counts a lot too.
Well, have you experienced any artists, and can you do anything about it as a manager that they have the talent, but there's some kind of they sabotage themselves some way, or they have a fear of success, or have you worked with anybody like that? Have you seen people that they should be further than they are, or they don't go anywhere at all because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I bet I won't name them.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
We have
questions.
Only five more minutes to end the show, but I'm hoping, Mike, will you be back?
Do
you enjoy yourself? This is so sweet. I had another phone calls and group phone calls. It's crazy. And it's very, very exciting.
Wonderful.
You see, it's very exciting. Thank you so much for calling. Okay. You need to be back. People are interested. You can save a lot of people's dreams by talking to them. And why not? Yay!
Yeah.
Okay. We have one more song. But before one more song, I need to talk to Lucy. She was in my place yesterday. And we had producer from Chicago. And Not because you are here, Mike, but because I just got hot a song just created for me. Then I need to play a little bit because I promised. Okay. That, and the coolest things ever, that when we could talk about creativity and working with nice people that you really believe and like and friendships and stuff like that, obviously the song was waiting many, many years to be produced. And somehow I got it yesterday, the song in my hands with producer coming to the town. And guitars were done by Jeff Floro, who has a show right after me all about guitars. Trust me, Mike, he knows anybody who is anybody in this genre. And yeah, one day I just mentioned I want this style of music. He said, just send it to me. Then send like 12 tracks of many guitars, but we producer used whatever he decided to produce. And song is cool, but I promise to play it and you don't need to listen. And I will not ask you if you like it because I love it. That's all what counts anyway, because I'm an artist. Yay!
I don't know how.
Dance and Pray, Ilona Europa, Densolowicz Production. Thank you so much for that. Jeff Flora, love your guitars. And of course, Michelle White, thank you so much for your additional Belladonna style. Like singing, you are amazing. And the song, I don't know, waited a long time and is here. Ah, we are still working, it's still not mastered, but hey, I love the song. Okay. Now we'll be playing Still the Birds. Would you like me to play third song right now? Still the Birds?
Yeah, Darren? Go ahead.
Okay, I will be fading out because we need to say bye-bye today. Mike Gormley, people want to talk to you. I have another caller, but CBS is coming up, yes.
That's fantastic. Alona, you have so many listeners, you see. It's a testament to your listenership.
And
it is.
Or did we have amazing guests?
Well, I'm saying that they wouldn't know. I mean, we did put it on Facebook, right?
Yes.
We put you all over Facebook.
Yes. So, I would love to have you back. Yeah. You know, like I say, this is not only about music. It's really about how to survive in any business and keeping your life going and cooking something that hopefully tastes good in the end.
To keep on going.
Keep on going. Okay, then let's, just before I say bye-bye, Mike Gormley, thank you so much for coming. Lucy Hill, I love you.
Thank you.
You'll be here for next three Mondays. And thank you so much. I'll be flying somewhere. And bye-bye.
Still the long December night, still this farm in dappled light, still the scarecrow stuffed with straw, still the well from which we draw, still the sound of horses near, still the songs of yesteryear, still new apples on the branch, still the silent avalanche. Still the birds, they fly on high. Still they fly through sky, blue sky. They soar above the world of man.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa. Right here on LA Talk Radio.